Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today. It's Wednesday. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore. And Rick, in this program on North Shore Today, we look at the headlines making news around the North Shore, and I'm struck by the vote they had in Marblehead yesterday, and both override measures passed. So they voted to fund the override study for the study of the Gary School and also for the new fire truck. So developments there in the town of Marblehead as they had that special election yesterday. Not sure what else is going on. What's happening up in the Cape Ann area?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, before that, the first thing that jumps out at me is Congressman Moulton walking out on a moment of silence yesterday for the shooting victims in Orlando. Yeah. And at first I thought, okay, what's going on here? But wow, is he upset and adamant about this moment of silence thing. He said, my constituents wrote back that thoughts and prayers aren't working. And he said, no, he's not going to attend any more moments of silence. He wants to get something done to protect victims and honor victims. And so he's, according to the headline, calling for gun control, not silence. And very interesting. And I guess this was this in Marblehead?
No, I think that was on the floor of the Capitol, because I think Representative Clark down in the Wellesley area, down that area, she also did the same thing from what I understand.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's probably in both papers, so very interesting. Up on Cape Ann, Bill, a couple of things of note is that Fiesta is coming up in Gloucester. The St. Peter's Fiesta is their big annual celebration in honor of the patron saint of fishermen. And it will start on Wednesday. By the way, we're going to be broadcasting a lot of stuff, so we'll talk more about that next week. Andrew Nicastro and I and some other people, and hopefully you'll come up too for some of the stuff. We'll be broadcasting some of the sporting events, and that will take place. It begins Wednesday. But the article talks about safety and security, Fiesta security, and since Chief Campanello has been the police chief in Gloucester, the coverage the safety has been good. There were some initially, when he first started, there were some problems that had been a carryover for years and years and years in the West End at some of the drinking establishments late at night, but things have gotten better. The business owners and actually the patrons all doing better. So there's a big article on that, and the state police mounted patrol will be back once again. And then the other thing of note is that the PARI office, and that would be the Police Assisted Addiction Recovery Initiative, will be opening up an office in downtown Gloucester, very near the police station. And they've got a fundraiser going on Thursday night, this Thursday at Tono, the new restaurant. And apparently it's on a sellout to raise $10,000 for PARI. And, of course, that's the ANGEL program that has become so familiar to people that is taking place in Gloucester. And PARI will be opening up a brand new office in downtown Gloucester.
Okay. I was just looking at a couple of other things here. I'm trying to get to one other story here. But in Peabody, this is a story in the item, Rick. Peabody is going to be ramping up parking fees, according to Adam Swift. This is in today's item. One of the things you can get for 25 cents an hour of parking in downtown Peabody, but even that may soon end. Officials are examining a plan that would peg the parking rate at $1 per hour and increase fines for everything from handicapped. And I got to turn to the next section here. This is what you might expect here. So from handicapped parking to fire lane violations, the city hasn't raised fees and fines for nearly 25 years, according to Karen Sawyer Conrad, Director of Community Development. So the low meter rates and the low fines encourage people to take up a Main Street parking space all day. I suppose that's probably true. So anyways, they're looking at that stuff in the city of Peabody.
I think the other item of note, probably in the Salem News as well, maybe it was in there yesterday, Bill, I don't remember if you mentioned it, but that device that was at Bertucci's restaurant that was thought it might be a bomb or a hoax, it turned out to be a homemade medical device, according to Paul Layton of the Salem News. Parkinson's patient called the restaurant Monday night looking to retrieve the device, which he said he used for electrical stimulation to help with joint pains, and authorities said they were able to corroborate the explanation with the man's doctor. So it was not a bomb or a bomb hoax at Bertucci's the other night that sparked off all the media coverage.
Well, you know, Rick, that makes sense. You know, I'm sorry, but I mean, when I heard bomb, you know, obviously you take that seriously. But when you think of bomb hoax, I'm thinking, why up in North Beverly at Bertucci's do you have a bomb hoax? It seems like the most unlikely place for it. Not that there is a likely place for it, but anyway, that's good to know. You know those devices, Rick? Have you ever seen those things? Those are old. I forgot when they were popular, but they used those years ago. They would crank them. Probably, you know, this might be what this is about. He may use a battery or, well, I don't know, maybe there's no battery involved with this, but you could put these things, you attach them to your fingers or other parts of your body. I'm not sure where you do it, but I've seen them before. I remember a friend of mine, their family had one as a hand-me-down, like a antique from years ago. Not that they used it, but that would be the old medicine, whatever. They would say that they would feel, people would feel that would work, and by giving them some electric stimulation to their joints and so on. So that's interesting. That, and a lot of people never really, I don't think that was ever really debunked or anything like that. So it's that's interesting that that's what that was for. I'm surprised you have to take it to a Bertucci's, though. I mean, that sounds a little crazy to me. But anyways, it is what it is. So
yeah, and it's good. It's nothing bad. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Looking here too in the Salem News is a story. Lori Ehrlich, who we hope to be talking with soon. We have an appointment to meet with her in the next the next week or so. She's got the we had talked to her about this, too, about the bill that she had. And, when she's discussing her bill as the president, there's some bills paralleling in Washington and at the State House. But her bill would prohibit those on the FBI's terror watch list or federal no-fly list, from acquiring a firearms ID card or license to carry in Massachusetts. The bill has the support of Governor Charlie Baker and 54 lawmakers. This is one of these things. I'm listening to the debates in the past few days, and I see both sides of this piece, but I don't see why these weapons are available to people on these lists. There's also a story out yesterday about scrubbing the dots that you connect the data on these things, that is being scrubbed by the administration or being told to. That seems foolish to me. I know there's individual rights and all of that stuff, but in this day and age, I don't think you want to scrub the dots, so to speak. But on the other hand, it doesn't seem to me that assault weapons or that people need those things or should be able to buy those things at any time. Those aren't hunting rifles, and I just don't understand why we're not getting on top of that piece. So I actually think what Representative Ehrlich is proposing is makes common sense, and I know that's a buzzword too. Common sense gun control that ticks people off on the right, and so on. So I don't think it's a gun control issue. I think it's more than a gun control issue, but that part does make sense. Adding to our gun control does make sense.
When people start talking gun control, and they have the knee-jerk reaction on both sides, I get upset. It's a mass murder problem. It's a violence problem. And obviously weapons are involved. And if I talk liberal and say, we have to talk about this, and a Republican friend does a knee-jerk reaction, you want to take my guns away and step on the Second Amendment, it's like, that's not at all what I said. Will you listen to me, please? So, it's just upsetting that you see this automatic knee jerk. You want to amend, take away the Second Amendment. No, I don't. Anyway.
Rick, we have a thing on our website, on this post here, on grilling. And it was put out by the Gloucester Fire Department yesterday. And we have it up on our post here today on the North Shore Today post on grilling. Grilling safety, and I just wanted to check with you here on this thing. They say that propane and gas grills should be used only outdoors. That makes sense. Place grills away from the house, deck railings, and out from under eaves and overhanging branches. Keep children and pets at least 3 feet away. Never leave a grill burning unattended. Also, they used to say, I would love to be able to put my grill on my deck, but they don't say, but I don't know if that's in this hearing or not. But that's been generally said. You can't put grills on decks, and so I don't do it. But There's grills there, and it's all gas grills to me always were a little scary, but now I have a relatively new one, a few years old, so that seems a lot safer than the old ones I used to have or I used to see people use if I'd go to cookouts. I think they're a lot better now, a lot safer than they used to be,
Well, you still have to be careful around them. People just get a little silly, and so it's good to have that advice out there, most definitely. And gas bother. I'm very nervous around gas of any kind. Whether it's propane or whether you have the stuff in your house, that feeds the stove and stuff like that. So please be careful. Absolutely.
All right. So those are our gas grill tips that are up here from the Gloucester Fire Department. All right, those are some of the news stories, and weather's getting nice. Folks are thinking of turning to the beaches as well. And I guess let's turn to sports. We got a baseball.
Hold on.
Oh, you got one more thing?
Okay. Before we do that, Bill, I just want to mention that we do have a post up on the website from yesterday. We had our first concert from Greg Verga's Unfinished Music Studio. Very, very exciting stuff and really good to listen to. Dan King was our first musical guest. And it's really cool. He plays some stuff in studio. The mix is pretty good in terms of what you can listen to. It's in stereo. You can listen to him play live. And he also brought in some recorded stuff that we played. It's in stereo as well. It's up on the website. It's just about an hour long. And Greg, we're going to do this intermittently. We're going to try to do it a couple of times a month. Greg lines up local artists from the North Shore, and they'll be playing in Greg's studio. They'll be playing live. We'll interview them. And they'll bring in some music that's canned as well. So check it out. It's up on the website right now. It's Unfinished Music with Greg Verga.
All right. Sounds great. And we do have a baseball game tonight. It's Danvers and Dighton Rehoboth. Those are the winners of the North and South divisions for the state championship game. It's at Lynn Frazier's field. And we'll have it here for you tonight starting at 7 o'clock. We'll feature interviews with both coaches prior to the game. And then, of course, the game broadcast itself. So we're looking forward to that. And as the North Shore spring sports season really is winding down fast. This week, two North Shore lacrosse teams went out. The other day, the Marblehead girls fell. And last night, the Ipswich boys fell. They had a fantastic season this past year. And so congratulations to them. But they did lose, and so they're out of the tournament. That's the way everybody loses at the end, except for one team. And they made it to the state semifinals. So congratulations to them. So, and we also had the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete Award winners for the year yesterday.
And as always, every time we see these kids, Bill, and we talk to them, you feel good about the future, and also seeing some of the past winners, and who was it? Ashley Waters, was that her name? Coming back from BU and coaching at BU, and all the other announcements that they had. Great job once again by Gerard Moynihan.
Yeah, it was, and Hunter Costa, the wrestler from St. John's Prep, the male winner, and Sarah Welch, a Beverly High School swimmer from Beverly High, the female winner. Also, note and honored there was James Coffey, who is the athletic director at Beverly High School, who's stepping down from that position to relocate up to Falmouth, Maine. Great school district up there. He will be greatly missed, and that was mentioned yesterday by Phil Stason. We, of course, echo those words as well on James Coffey. So I guess those are some of our sports stories and news stories on this Wednesday. Wednesday. If folks are listening to us to find out what day of the week it is, it's not good. Okay, that's not what you need to do. Anyways, that'll do it for us. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. Thanks for being with us here on North Shore Today. Need a plan for September? Attend North Shore Community College's open house on Saturday, June 25th from 10 to noon in Danvers. Learn about 80-plus associate degree and career training programs, how to avoid student debt, transfer programs for bachelor's degrees, and earning credit for prior learning or military service. Enrolling now for September of this year. Details at northshore.edu. That's northshore.edu.